Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet by the two dots. The Braita that we had brought before, the extensive Braita by Gerut, said at the end, Echad Ger ve'Echad Eved Mishuchrar, that the Ger and Eved Mishuchrar require mikveh. So from here it sounds like a Ger, obviously, we know needs mikveh because that's part of the conversion process. But the Eved Mishuchrar, the question is with regards to his necessitating a mikveh over here, what are we talking about? We know that when he enters in to become an Eved Knani, that he requires mikveh, but from the Braita, it sounds like when he is Mishuchrar, when he's freed, he also requires mikveh. So why is that? So the Gemara says here, Kasaka datcha, lekabel alav o mitzvot. The reason that he requires another time in the mikveh is to be mekabel the o mitzvot. Viraminu, is that true? Bamed dvarim amurim beger. That's only true by a ger. Aval be'eved mishuchrar ein tzarich lekabel. As far as an eved mishuchrar is concerned, he does not have to accept the mitzvot. Amar Rav Sheshet lo kasha. That's not a problem. Ha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, ha Rabbonon. The machloket Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Rabbonon. Titanyo. We have a brayto. Bachta et avi avet ima. This is by an eshet yifat toar. She'll cry for her mother and father. Bamed marim amurim. When's that true? Shelo kibla aleha. That's if she did not accept to become Jewish. She did not accept the conversion process. Aval kibla aleha matbila umutar bayimiyad. Then if she accepts, you can put her in the mikveh right away and she's mutar miyad. The 30-day buffer or window is only because she doesn't accept the ola mitzvot. But if she does, then she can convert right away. Rabbi Shimon Lazo Omer, afal pisha lo kibla aleha, even if she doesn't accept it, kofa umatbila l'shem shifchut, he takes her, forces her into the mikveh l'shem shifchut, the shifcha kananit, the same way by an eved kanani. Here the force means that under the dominion of the master, so it's done as like and you would do by an eved kanani, so too you do by shifcha kananit, v'chozer matbila l'shem shichrur. And then he puts in the mikveh in order to be freed, and then he frees her. And then she's muteret right away. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar clearly says that you don't have to do it with acquiescence. There's no idea of kibla over here of her accepting versus the chachamim who think that there has to be some sort of willing acceptance of the ola mitzvot. So the explanation between the braita and what we quoted afterwards is Rabbi Shimon Elazar will be the author of the opinion that you do not have to have mikabalat o mitzvot, and the Chachamim will be the authors of the position that says that you do require kabalat o mitzvot. So the Braita before that says Evin Mishuchrar and Ger, that's the Chachamim. The other Braita that we brought, that's only true by Ger, not by an Evin Kanani, that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Amarova, my time of the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion? Tichtiv. The pasuk says, "Kol eved ish miknat kesef." This is talking about in Shmot with regards to the avadim who are participating in the korban haPesach that they require brit milah in order for you to participate in the korban haPesach. So it says, "Kol eved ish miknat kesef." So Gemara asks a rhetorical question: "Eved ish velo eved isha? Why is it called an eved ish? It should just be kol eved miknat kasef. Why is the word ish there? What's it modifying? Is it coming to say an eved of an ish, not an isha? If a woman owns avadim, all of a sudden there's some sort of different din about them? Doesn't make sense. Ela, eved ish atamal bal korcho. Eved ish you can give a milah to against his will. Vi atamal ben ish bal korcho. But the son of an individual, you cannot do milah with bal korcho. That's the first pshat. This is subject to a machloket. Rashi already brings down two opinions as to how to explain this, and then the Balei HaTosfot bring down a third opinion how to explain this Gemara. V'Rabbanan, we'll explain the Rabbanan's position, which is a little easier, and then we'll come back and deal with Rabbi Shimon. Amar Ula, k'shem she'ata mal benish bal korcho, just like you can't give a benish his milah bal korcho against his will, kach yata mal eved ish bal korcho. So to an eved, you can't give it bal korcho. Bela Haktiv, he says, what about the fact that it says called Evedish? According to the Chachamim, we make no distinction here. The word Evedish has no meaning. So, how mi bayle the Kedish Muel? That we need for Shmuel, Damar Shmuel. Hamafkir Abdo, Yatzal Cherut. Person who relinquishes control over his Eved Kanani, the Eved goes free. Vein tzarich get shichrur. He does not have to get a document of freedom because he gains his freedom by himself. He doesn't require a release because by definition, if you release your property rights in him, he will acquire himself and he becomes free automatically. Shnemer kol evedish miknat kosef. Evedish velo evedisha. Again, what is this? An evedish, not evedisha. El eved sheyesh lo reshut rabo alav karui eved. Now, an eved ish means that someone who has control and ownership over you, that's called an eved. Someone who does not have control over this individual is no longer called an Eved. So an Eved Kanani, who has no master, because his master relinquished all ownership in him, by definition is not an Eved, because there's nobody who controls him anymore, who owns him anymore, and he gains his freedom in that way. Okay, now, the picture here and the question that you're asking is, what's the difference between Evedish and Benish? That's the key component to this question, because the Chachamim say, well, whatever an Evedish and a Benish is, they're the same din, and they cannot be done bal kocho. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar distinguishes between an evedish, which can be done bal kocho, versus a benish, which cannot be done bal kocho. So Rashi brings two lishonot. The first lashon, which is similar to the lashon of the Rif, the Rambam, which he rejects. And then he brings a second lashon, which he deems as being ikar, the main one. And the Ramban himself actually agrees that this is the better pshat here. And then we'll have the Bali Tosfot afterwards that bring a different explanation. Just before we start, note that there are two tvilot here by the Eved Kanani. There's a tvilah by the Eved Kanani when he enters into being an Eved. That's what we've been discussing until now. Now we've introduced a second tvilah, which is a tvilah before he is freed. So now the question which you have to ask here is, when the discussion between Rav Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim, how does that shed light on those two different tvilot? We know that for sure, the way that we've set up the machloket right now is in the second tvilah. That's where Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim argue. The question is, how does that reflect, or what does that mean for the first tvilah? Is the first tvilah, do they agree? Or is the same machloket apply even by the first tvilah? So just keep that in mind as we go through these different opinions. So the first opinion in Rashi, he brings down and he says this, that, Hakikamar, Eved shlakachta mino oved kochavim. An Eved that you bought from an Oved Kochavim means that you're purchasing. He's already subjugated to another Oved Kochavim. And you purchase him. There you are, Mal Bal Korcho Shel Eved. There you can do it against the will of the Eved, since he's already subjugated someone else. When you bring him in, you can do it against his will. V'yata Mal Ben Oved Kochavim Ba'alma. Ben Ish would refer to a normal Oved Kochavim. For instance, that sells himself to you. So instead of this being an Oved Kochavim who's selling another Oved Kochavim who's his Eved, so in that case, you're allowed to do it Bal Korcho, because that's called Eved Ish. On the other hand, when it comes to a Ben Ish is just a regular Oved Kochavim. Someone who then decides that he's going to sell himself to you to be an Eved Kenani. He himself is transacting to grant you that right. In that case, you cannot do it Bal Korcho, because the Torah says, Ish, that is a Kroyoteira, and the Ben Ish, that means that the Ben Ish cannot get a Milo Baal Korcho, even though a Eved Ish can get it. So an Eved, the Ish here refers to an Oved Kochavim. So an Eved to an Oved Kochavim can get Milo Baal Korcho, but a Ben Ish, right, a son to an Oved Kochavim, in a regular Oved Kochavim, cannot have Milo Baal Korcho. Just the terminology of exclusion. You're right. Technically it's Ish, but it's just Eved Ish versus Ben Ish, that's all. It's a miut. It's not that Ben Ish is different than Ish itself, correct? Ben Ish versus Eved Ish, one is a slave already, the other one is a free person who's selling himself into slavery. So that'll be the distinction that's drawn here, and the machloket will be in the instance between Rabbi Shimon and Elazar. Rabbi Shimon and Elazar and the Chachamim argue about this. The Chachamim say, no matter what, you need acquiescence of the party for the mila and the tvila. That's the way the Chachamim learned. No difference between Ben Ish and Eved Ish. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says there is a difference. An Eved Ish does not need acquiescence, but a Ben Ish does require acquiescence. So for basically what a Ben Ish is, like almost like a normal conversion, even though he signed himself into Avdut, we're going to classify it like a normal conversion, and he will have to do it willingly. On the other hand, when he's an Eved Ish, and it can be sold against his will, there too, the whole process, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, can be done against his will. Now, seemingly, over here, this pshat is talking about the second tvila. Right? It's not talking about the first tvila. So here, the way the Rif, the Rambam explained it, is that everybody agrees that the first tvila has to be done willingly, and you have to have a willing acceptance of the Olam Mitzvot. It's the argument here between Mishim Elazar and the Chachamim is in the second tvila. Does the second tvila can be done Baal Korcho or not? So that's the machloket here, which is that the final stage of freeing him to be a Ben Yisrael, and basically the end of his conversion process, does it have to be willingly done? So the Chachamim say both the first tvila and the latter tvila have to be done willingly. But Shimon Elazar agrees that the first tvila has to be done willingly, but the second one does not have to be done willingly. Okay, that's the way that the Rif, the Rambam explain it. And you could see that this ride, the pshat that Rashi is bringing, could fit that way. Rashi, on the other hand, believes that everybody agrees that the first tvila can be done Baal Korcho. The only argument here is in the second tvila. So Rashi explains it over here. He says, Lashon Acher V'Ikar, Eved Ish, Hachi Gamar, Eved Shu Ish, Afo Pi Shu Gadol, Uben Dat, Umalto Oto Baal Korcho. That even though he is a Gadol, and he can make decisions, nevertheless, Malta Baal Korcho, you can give him a Mila against his will. Via Tamal Ben Shu Ish, you're not allowed to give a Mila to a son of an Ish, who's a regular Ger, Habalihid Gayer. So if you have someone who converts, he cannot force, or you cannot force, his sons that are of age to convert. That's Ben Ish. So the son of an Ish is just a Ger, a regular Ger.
Here it is a literal.
Right, here it is literal, that Ben Ish means the son of a Ger. A son of a Ger who is an Ish, man, he's of age, he you cannot force to convert. The Ktanim, you can enforce them to have a Mila because they come with their parents, they don't have Dat by themselves, so you can give them. If they convert their children with them. But if the children are of age and the Ger decides to convert, his children don't automatically come with him and you can't force the children to come along. On the other hand, if you have an Eved Ish, you can force. So this is the way Rashi is learning. Rashi is learning is obviously Gerut. Conversion has to be done willingly. That means whether you're a parent or a child, the conversion has to be willing. Now, when you don't have Dat or you're not a Bar Dat, then the parents can make the decision on your behalf. But if you are a Bar Dat, the parents can't force the Gadol in order to make that decision to convert at that time. So therefore, Gerut has to be done willingly. Avdut can be done against the will. That's Rashi. This is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Chachamim say no, that even Eved has to be done willingly. Now from Rashi, it seems like the first tvila can be done Baal Korcho. That's what we've been learning until now. It seems like that. That's what it seems to be from the description of Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion, that the first one can be done Baal Korcho, and the Chachamim agree to that. The only question is, the second tvila does have to be done willingly or acceptingly. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says no. Just like we saw by the Ishat Yifat Toar. You put her in unwillingly and you take her out, meaning that you make her a Shivcha Kananit and you mishachre her all against her will and it all works. That's Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion. Chachamim say no. Okay, you can put her into Abdut against her will, but you can't take her out and mishachre her, make her into a Jew against her will, because that looks more like Gerut at that point in time and you need the willing acceptance of the individual at that point in time. That's the way Rashi describes it. Tosafot brings a Perish HaKunches Lashon Sheni. That's, he brings Rashi's second pshat, which is the one that Rashi favors. And he says, V'davar Tema Perish. Dekra himo lo kol zachar mekminen lemilat zicharav. Shemach v'do me'achol v'pesach. Rashi quotes a pasuk here about the Mila. And he says he doesn't understand it. That's about whether you have to give a Brit Mila to your Avadim in order to eat your Korban Pesach. Lo sheesh shalaych el babanim shenoldu b'kdusha. That's only kids that are born that are Jewish. It's not going to be talking about non-Jewish children. Because Rashi brings a pasuk by Avram Avinu that says, Himo lo kol zachar lo k'tibu ish. There it says, kol zachar and not an ish. V'kabi evid k'tiv ish, demutei ben. So over here, it says ish versus there it says kol zachar. So that's the difference. The difference between kol zachar versus ish teaches us the difference between a ger and an evid. That's what it says. That pasuk's not talking about an Eved. That's talking about Jewish children. Imolo kol zachar is people that were born b'kdusha. So he disagrees. So he says, V'nidre dolo tzarech kral l'midrish minei, d'me'edele yadinan, shelo yigaru obal korchol. He says, what do you need a pasuk to tell me that you can't force someone to convert? Obviously, if a person's of age, why should his parent be able to force him to make that decision? He has the ability independently to make his own decisions. It's the same with you by Gerut. And therefore, you cannot use that pasuk. Right now, the Tosfot sees over here that the machloket between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Chachamim is in both stages. I mean, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks it's Baal Korcho in the entrance stage and the exit stage. Right, and the Chachamim think that both at the entrance and exit stage has to be done with acquiescence. So there you have three different permutations of how to explain this machloket as to where the machloket is. Again, Rashi, in the first and second pshat that he brings, says that the machloket is in the second stage. Question is, what was the first stage? Rashi says everybody agrees the first stage can be Baal Korcho. In the first lashon, it seems to be that everybody is acquiescing in the first stage. It needs to be the second stage as Baal Korcho. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, according to Chachamim, it has to be also. And Tosafot says, no, that they argue in both stages. What's the status of how do you move the Eved through? And that's basically the question here. That can you, in the end, can you force an Eved to become a Jew? Both in the partial stage, where he's a part Jew along the way, where there it's a little easier to understand, because you're bringing him into Avdut, he's becoming into an Eved, he has to abide by the laws of the household. On the other hand, when the freedom side of it, then you could see why it might be more complex. Here you're making him into a full-fledged Jew at that point in time, when you free him, right? If he doesn't accept all mitzvot, why should that happen? Especially if it was done Baal Korcho in the first place, that he would like to see a Kabbalat all mitzvot that is willing at that point in time. The truth is, he's not allowed to be freed. We've said this over and over again, that there's an Isur for a Jew to free an Eved Kanani. There's an Isur d'oraita to free an Eved Kanani. Probably an Isur Asay, which is, Baolam Bahem Tavodu, that you must permanently subjugate them. So the Isur Asay is that if you release them, then you're not Laolam Bahem Tavodu. So because of that, there's a restriction against releasing them. So in releasing them, you would only release them if you felt that they were going to act as a proper Jew. Again, quote-unquote, Baal Korcho, doesn't really matter. So you have to take that into consideration in this whole discussion, is that the likelihood of him being freed is low, and if he's going to be freed, we would assume it's in the context of a situation in which the owner either will ascertain that this individual is going to be able to be Shomer Torah Mitzvot, otherwise he may as well just sell him to the next guy. If you can't afford him anywhere, something like that, just sell him and get rid of him in that way. Don't free him. So that's why I think you have to take that into consideration here. All right, so now we have the word Eved Ish here. Rabbi Shimon Elazar sees out of the word Eved Ish that opens up the opportunity for a Baal Korcho situation by Eved Ish, not by Ben Ish. How you explain Eved Ish and Ben Ish, obviously we just saw that there are different explanations for that. But that's Rabbi Shimon Elazar's position. The Chachamim's position is that Eved Ish over here teaches you that only when the Eved is under the dominion of another individual is he an Eved. But if he's mafkir him, if there's no dominion, if there's no owner, then you don't remain an Eved Kanani. Just because your status is Eved Kanani, that status is there because someone owns you. If someone doesn't own you, then you own yourself and you're no longer an Eved Kanani. But as far as the exclusion of Ben Ish, they don't see that. They see Ben Ish and Eved Ish being the same, that all of this has to be done with acquiescence. It has to be done with a Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot. So Matkifla Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Imur Dishmaidu the Rabbanan B'Yifat Toar. Our whole evidence of the position of the Rabbanon is from Yifat Toar, the Lo Shaicha B'mitzvot. Because over there by the Yifat Toar, we're bringing in a woman who's in captivity who has no connection to the mitzvot whatsoever. So over there we say to him, look, either she accepts it willingly or she doesn't come. Because she has no connection to Judaism whatsoever. Avod Eved the Shaich B'mitzvot, even according to the Chachamim, this Eved Kanani until this point in time has been practicing mitzvot like an Isha, then Hachanami, Dafilu Rabbanon Modu. Maybe there the Rabbanon would agree that at the point of release for the Eved, that he does automatically become a full-fledged Jew against his will, because he's already a partial Jew before he ever started. So maybe there's something different. You're bringing evidence from a machloket by Yifat Toar and trying to impose it by Eved. Maybe the two cases are different. Yifat Toar is starting from zero, and you're trying to get her to be a full-fledged Jew. Over there, you can't do a Baal Korcho. An Eved, who's already a half-Jew, then maybe there you can force the issue and let him be free and he will become a full-fledged Jew. Titania, echad ger, ve'echad lokiach eved min ha'oved kochavim, whether a convert or you purchase an eved from ha'oved kochavim, tzarich lekabel. In that case, they have to accept it. Ha, lokiach misrael, ain't tzarich lekabel. But if you purchase it from a Jew, then you wouldn't have to accept the mitzvot. So, Mani, who's the author of this position? If you think about it, accepting it from a Jew means that he's already gone through the first part of the process, which is that he's already had a milah, and it's milah, the shame, Eved Kanani. So when a Jew sells that Eved Kanani to another Jew, that status has already been imposed on him. And so now you can sell from Malkech Misrael, you don't have to do anything. Versus, if you talk about buying him from an Oved Kochavim, or you talk about a ger, a convert, over there you need some sort of process of acceptance of mitzvot. So who is the author? If Rabbi Shimon Elazar, if Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the author of that position, Amar lo keach min ovi kochavim nami, ein tzarich lekabel. Right? Didn't he already say, forget about buying from a Jew? He says, even when you buy from an ovi kochavim, that's an eved ish. Then you don't have to accept on yourself the olam mitzvot. Evelav Rabbanon. This is the position of the Rabbanon. Ushmami not. What do we see in the position of the Rabbanon now? To lo keach min ovi kochavim tzarich lekabel. When you buy from a non-Jew, you need acceptance of the mitzvot. But if you buy from another Jew, you don't have to do that. You don't need any acceptance of the mitzvot. So over here, he's been here for a while time, and he's been doing the mitzvot. He doesn't have to accept them again when he's sold to another Jew. I mean, that the original, whatever it was that happened, Baal Korcho, that happened at that point in time, or whether it happened willingly, they don't need a new acceptance when he moves over to a new owner. And the same will be true if he's freed at that point in time. You don't need a new acceptance. Once he's under the dominion as an Eved Kenani to a Jewish owner, then there's no more Kabbalat HaMitzvot that's required in the sale process versus by a Ovi Kuchavim that sells him that will require an acceptance. But you see from here that on the exit side or on the other side, then you don't need acceptance anymore. And this would only be according to the position of the Chachamim. Velakasha. Then what do we do with our Braita from yesterday that said Echad Ger Vechad Eved Meshuchrar, which seems to indicate that you need Mikveh again on the way out? You're right. He has to go to the mikveh again, but that has nothing to do with Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot. Shavin, tvila tzrichim lidbol, kashabayim lechal yisro gamur. Avelin yin Kabbalah, lo shvul, the evid ain't tzrich lekabel, b'shat tvila tshichur. He has to go to the mikveh again, but he doesn't require any Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot. So that would be the distinction that he draws. Before we assumed that tvila and Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot are connected. The two are inseparable. So if we require him to go to the mikveh, that means we're requiring a Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot. And the truth is that we do them at the same time, but what the Gemara is saying is that they're not necessarily correlated. The Olam Mitzvot is separate from the mikveh. And just because you require a mikveh when he changes into a Jew, because he's being Malei B'Kedusha, so you tell him to go to the mikveh, that's fine, go to the mikveh. But that has nothing to do with Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot. There is no requirement again of Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot, according to both opinions now. Both according to the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This is what Rav Papa is suggesting over here, as opposed to our first answer where there was such a distinction. Rav Papa says there is no such a distinction. By Yifat Toar, there is a distinction because she never had anything to do with the mitzvot. So there you need some willing acceptance. But over here, the Eved Kenani, ho, either in the first stage willingly accepted it, or was forced in. At that point, he then starts to practice the mitzvot in his position as an Eved Kenani. And then, when he wants to be freed after that, you don't need another Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot, even according to the Chachamim, according to Rav Papa. Neither of them require a Kabbalat Olam Mitzvot at that point.
What's this guy's status?
When he's an Eved Kenani. When he's Eved Kenani, he has a status like an Isha. I'm not going to speak about it so much now, but we've spoken about what that means. It doesn't mean that Eved Kenani and Isha are equal. It's not a statement of equivalence, that Eved Kenani and Isha are equal. It's just that we need a paradigm of someone who is not Chayav in all the Mitzvot, who doesn't have control over their own time, doesn't have these time-bound mitzvot, so there, the Isha has that paradigm. So therefore, we use the paradigm of the Isha to figure out what mitzvot the Eved Kenani is chayavin. But not that we're drawing an equivalence between an Isha and Eved Kenani, it's just that we use the paradigm of the mitzvot that the Isha is chayavit in. That makes sense for an Eved Kenani. But then, that has, you know, implications. He can't have Eidut. Even though he's a man, he can't have Eidut. Right? There are other instances also, we have a question. Is he chayavin peruvu? Is he chayavin lo takifu pat roshchem? So that, achronim, debate about what's the status, because do we say that he's chayav in mitzvot ki isha? Isha is ptura from lo tukifu et parat roshchem. Is she ptura because it's not relevant, and that's why she's ptura, or the mitzvah doesn't exist for her? So that would make a difference. By the Eved Kenani, because it is shayach for him, maybe he's chayav in mitzvot lo tukifu et parat roshchem, or do we say no? Just like a woman is not chayavit, so too he's not chayavit. Same thing in Purur Vu. A woman who is not chayavit in Purur Vu is an Eved Kenani chayav in Purur Vu. Again, the difference being because the woman Tura, because she is in Holechet V'Koveshet, but here a man is, he's a man, so maybe he is, but does he have a status like a woman? So those mitzvot, where women are Turot because they are women, they're here, an Eved Kenani, that's a question, what his status will be in those mitzvot. Is he like a woman, and therefore he's Patur? Or because he's a man, maybe those mitzvot are relevant to him, even though he's only chayav in mitzvot like a woman. So that's where their discussion comes out. Say things like, don't continue for Rashi, Vur Vu have nothing to do with Zman Grama. They have to do with the fact that a woman's Ptura, because she's a woman qua woman. That's what makes her Ptura. So here, where he's a man, is he going to be Chayav in those mitzvot? That's a question that comes up in the Achronim. Tarabanan. Now the Gemara is going to discuss an Isha Yifat Tawar. We're on the topic, so we're going to discuss it now. V'gilchat Rosha v'asata tziparna. So the requirement is that V'gilchat Rosha is pretty clear, that she has to shave off or cut off her hair. V'asata tziparna, that in the modern day Hebrew, if you say v'asata tziparna, that means to make up, right, get a manicure, do her nails. So that's the question. What does asata et tziparna mean here? So that's machloket tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer omer, takots, cut them off. Rabbi Akiva omer, tagdil, she should grow them out. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, nemar asiyah berosh, benemar asiyah betziparnaim. The pasuk juxtaposes to two things. The cutting of the hair and something to the nails. Well, if the hair means to cut, that means that whatever it means to do with the nails, that also means to cut them. So malahalan havara, just like by the hair means the removal of the hair. Afkan havara, so to over here by the nails, it's to remove the nails. Again, you have something to be done to the hair, something done to the nails. Malahalan nivul. Why do we tell her to cut off all her hair? Because we're trying to make her ugly. We're trying to make her such her appearance is not attractive. I've got nivul. So to over here, what makes her unattractive? Just let her nails grow out to where she's not kept. So since she's in an unkempt state, that is what we're trying to accomplish here. So how do you do that? You cut off her hair and you let her nails grow out. So v'raya the divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The truth is that there is proof to Rabbi Eliezer's position from the story in Shmuel Bet when David returns. And when he's returning to Yerushalayim, he's greeted by Mephibosheth ben Shaul. Now, Mephibosheth ben Shaul is someone who was injured when he was very young. He was lame, he was unable to walk. And when David is leaving Yerushalayim, his slave goes to David and says to him, runs after him and brings him some stuff and tells David, listen, I know what's going on with you and I don't want you to know that my master Mephibosheth ben Shaul is not coming. You know why? You know what he's thinking? He's thinking that once David's out, it's my chance, my big chance to be the king again. That's why he's staying back. Tzibna, who is the slave, says to David, I'm with you, but my master's not with you. So I ran out with the Chamorim without him, and I brought you all these provisions. So David at the time says, then all the possessions of Mephibosheth belong to you. And he gives them over to his slave. Then when David's coming back to Yerushalayim, Mephibosheth ben Shaul goes out to greet him. So he says, Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad likrat et ha-melech, lo asa raglav, v'lo asa sfamo. He did not do his legs, and he did not do his mustache. Ma'ayasiya. Over there, what does it mean that he didn't do that? Is it havara, that he didn't remove the hair. So thereby is safam. What did he do? He didn't cut his mustache. He grew out. He became disheveled. He was an avel. He was acting like an avel, so he didn't cut his hair on his facial hair. And so it just grew out wild because he was in avelut. He was mourning that David had left. Lo asa raglav, Rashi says here, lo katzat sipornei raglav. He did not cut his toenails. He let his toenails grow out. Because he was be'avelut. And so therefore he looked unkempt. He was disheveled because he was mourning what had happened to David HaMelech. And he goes out to greet David HaMelech in this state, showing how he was upset and that he was not rebelling against David, that he was loyal to David. And again, there David says, Yerusha. So he splits up the thing and gives half Mephibosheth into Shaul and half to the Eved. And Mephibosheth, who is unbelievable enough, beautiful character, says, it doesn't matter to me. You can do whatever you want with my possessions, just that you're okay. That was what he said. All that matters is that you're well and that you're still here and you're still the king. So this is all during Merit of Shalom. There the Midrash, the Chachamim bring down at that time when David said, you and your slave will split the fields. That's when Hashem said that the melucha will be split, Yehuda and Yisrael will be split. This precipitates the splitting of the melucha later on with this division of the property, which was inequitable. It's clear here that Mephibosheth did nothing wrong and that his Eved was lying and that David should have given it all back to him and taken care of him, and there's an injustice that is done here. And so the Midrash picks up on the injustice and says then the melucha will be split because of this injustice. But you see from here that the word asiyah means to remove, because he says lo asa, he did not remove. So he did not remove his hair, his facial hair, and did not remove his toenails, as Rashi describes it. Over here, there's a large Tosafot disagreeing with Rashi, that raglav never refers to toes or feet. Raglav always refers to legs. And here, Tosafot talks about the shaving of one's body, and shaving off the hair of the Makom Erva, and he discusses whether there's a problem there of removing the hair of the Erva. The Gemara in other places talks about a problem of Lo Yubash Gever Simlat Isha, doing things that are similar to a woman. So here Tosfot discusses whether it's mutar, not mutar. Midoraita seems to be mutar. It's only nosu derabanan by a man to remove the hair. And then he says in certain circumstances it'll be allowed. So he goes through different iterations of the speaking about it here. But he wants to say that the asiya here of the raglav is similar to sfamo. It's talking about hair. The removal of hair rather than the removal of the nails. And it's not so relevant to our topic. But I happen to note it because it's an interesting discussion in the Tosfot. But as far as we're concerned in the Gemara, the word asiya means removal. So therefore, astad siparna seems to support Rabbi Eliezer very strongly that it means the removal of the nails. The truth is, what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva knew the pasuk in Shmuel Ben, and he knows that Rabbi Eliezer is right. So that's, I think, the underlying reasoning behind what they're saying here. Rabbi Eliezer is basically saying, this woman is preparing to go to the mikveh. What do you do when you prepare to go to the mikveh? You gotta take away. You remove the hair, and you remove the nails. You cut the nails, you remove the hair, you take away all the chatzitzot. So she's getting ready for the mikveh. So the removal of the hair and the removal of the nails are in the same vein, and that's why we do it this way. Rabbi Akiva says, this is not about the mikveh. This is about, we don't want him to marry this woman. We want to make her as disgusting as possible so that he won't be enticed to marry her in the end. The end determines what the means are here. The means are that we want to stop him. How do we do that? Make her grow out her hair, make her grow out her nails. He agrees that astad siparna in a normal context would mean to cut the nails. But in this context, that's not the objective. The objective here is to make her ugly. And because of that, the astad siparna will be defined differently based on what we see in the beginning of the pasuk. So he agrees. He knows the pasuk in Shmuel Ben. He just says it's not relevant over here. Right, Tan Rabbanan, ubachtat avia vetima. She cries for her father and mother, yerach yamim, for 30 days. Rabbi Eliezer omer, avia, avia mamash, ima, ima mamash. Talking about her father and mother, we're talking about literally. She cries for her parents for that period of time. Rabbi Kiva omer, avia v'ima zu avodat kochavim. It's a figurative mother and father. She cries for her religion. She cries for her old way of life, which is where she was an ovedet kochavim. And avia v'ima represents that, the gods that she worshipped. Chenu omer, it says in the Pasuk Yirmiyahu, umrim la'etz aviata. They say to the tree or to the wood that you are my father. And they're worshipping the avodah zarah. It's a term here that the word aviata, my father, like we say avinu malkeinu, about Hashem, they say aviata to their idols. So avi v'ima is not literal, but figurative in the sense of avodah zarah. Now, obviously the nafka mina between these two positions will be if her parents already passed away, or her parents were killed in the war, where she doesn't have parents. So in the case where she doesn't have parents, then, according to the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, there's nothing to cry for anymore. Meaning that crying for Avia V'ima is that she's been taken away from her parents and they're still alive. If they're not alive, then there's nothing to cry about.
Got killed in the war.
Okay, but that's a separate. That's a velut. Here the crying is that she misses them, that she's been taken away from them, not that they died or they had passed away earlier. That's one nafka mina Tosfot brings down. It says, Rivan perish the Bekiva tzricha shtikfor b'avodat kochavim kodim tshuvalo. And the other nafka mina is that Rabbi Kiva requires her to relinquish her connection to avodah zarah. Meaning that if avia v'ima over here means avodah zarah, then Rabbi Akiva requires before he gets together with her that she cries over mother, father, and leaves it and releases from it. So that Tosfot brings down as the two nafkaminot between these positions over here about whether you think avia v'ima is literal or only figurative. Now next, yerach yamim, for 30 days, that's what we know what it means, where it says, yerach shloshim yom. Yerach, a month, is 30 days. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer tishim yom. It's for 90 days that she has to do this. Yerach shloshim. Yerach is 30 days. Yamim, days, are shloshim. V'achar kein, it says, after that, is another shloshim. So it says there are three sets of shloshim over here, and that's 90 days. Matkif la ravina, ema yerach shloshim. Let's say that yerach means 30. Yamim is another 30. V'achar kein, kihani. Achar kein means after that, you do another set of what you've done already, which is 60. So it would be 60 and 60, 120, where it says kasho. That's a good question. On that explanation that we have here of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that it's 90 days, you could have equally interpreted it to be 120 days as 90 days, so it's not clear why you picked 90 versus 120. I think it's an interesting drasha in general, because when we say yamim, we say yamim is plural of days. So you would say what's the minimum amount of days is 2 days or 3 days. That would have been the amount. Here he says Yamim or Shloshim is 30 days. I assume it's because of the juxtaposition to Yerach, which is 30 days. So the Yamim must be reflecting whatever is in the Yerach, and that means the days of the month. And so that's another 30 days over here. All right, Tarabanan. Mikayimim avadim sheinam malim divrei Rabbi Yishmael. You can keep an Eved Kenani that didn't get a Brit Milah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, in Mikayimim, you can't keep them. All right, so now here, this is going to be another major machloket harishonim as to how to understand this, which is, Samar Yishmael, Ore Omer. Pasuk says, Vayinafesh ben amatecha, that your ama has to rest, with reference to Shabbat. Amarle, Belokeach Eved ben Ashmashot. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not a problem. That's when you bought the Eved Kenani right before Shabbat. Ben Ashmashot, right before Shabbat, you bought the Eved Kenani. There wasn't enough time for Elohi speak. Lemulo, hakato midaber. You didn't have enough time to give him a milah. Therefore, you still have to, vayinafesh. He still has to rest on the day of Shabbat. So despite the fact that he's an Eved Kenani without a milah, you still have a requirement to allow him to rest. Rabbi Shmuel says, that pasuk's telling me that an Eved Kenani without a milah is required to have all the trappings in Eved Kenani, and therefore he has to rest on Shabbat. That's telling you that an Eved Kenani without a milah you're allowed to keep. Rabbi Akiva says, that's not what it's saying. This is just a temporary status. It's just because it was impossible for you to give him a milah. That's what the pasuk is referencing. That pasuk is talking about the Eved Arel Ketiv. That is clearly talking about an Eved who doesn't have a milah. My mashma. How do you know that? I mean that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree that Vayinafesh Banamatcha is talking about a case where you have an Eved who did not get a milah. So Rabbi Akiva just explains it in a short-term sense, and Rabbi Shmuel explains it as a long-term. But they both agree that that's the interpretation of the Pasuk. How do you know that? Titania says, Vayinafesh Banamatcha, Be'eved Arel HaKatub Medaber. The Pasuk is speaking about an Eved who does not have a milah. Ata Omer Be'eved Arel, Oinu Ela Be'eved Mahol. How do you know that? Maybe it's talking about an Eved that does have a milah. Keshua Omer, the pasuk in Dvarim when it says "Laman yenuach abducha v'yamatcha kamocha," over there where it says that they have to rest like you, harevid mahul amur. You already dealt with an eved kenani that has a milah. Ha amani mikayim v'inafesh ben amatcha. So then, what do I do with this additional pasuk of v'inafesh ben amatcha? Be'eved arel, it's an eved that does not have a milah. So that's number one. We know that v'inafesh ben amatcha is talking about an eved arel because we already have another pasuk that talks about an eved mahul. But then we have to interpret, what does it mean when it says that it's an Eved Sheinu Mahol, that it's an Eved Arel? So Rabbi Akiva says it's a temporary situation, it's some sort of ones that prevented you from giving him the Milah, but as soon as possible, you have to give him a Milah. On the other hand, Rabbi Shmuel sees it as a long-term Tzivoy, which is that you can have an Eved Kenani, that is not Mahol. Then the Pasuk continues there, V'nefesh v'namatcha v'ager. What's a ger? Ze ger toshav. That's talking about a ger toshav. Ata omer ze ger toshav, v'eino ger tzedek. Is it a ger toshav or a ger tzedek? The difference between a ger toshav is someone who's not Jewish, but he accepts, let's assume here, shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach, and he lives amongst you. A ger tzedek is someone who converts to become a Jew. So which one is it? Keshua omer v'gercha asher bisharecha. When it says the gercha asher bisharecha, we have a separate pasuk for the gercha asher bisharecha. That's in the pasuk in Devarim. Hari ger tzedek amur. That we already have. A ger tzedek has to keep Shabbat. Ha mani mikayim veger. So what's the ger in the pasuk that is found in Mishpatim? Ze ger toshav. That's talking about a ger toshav. Now Rashi says something radical over here. Rashi says, what's a ger toshav? He says hishkibel olav shelo la'avod avodat kochavim. He accepts not to worship avodah zarah. Should know again, this is not the place for it. This is a machloket in the Gemara, as well as a machloket rishonim as to what this. How do you become a ger toshav? And the Rishonim argue about it here. Rashi here just mentions the Kabbalat of Avodah Zarah. Some indicate that a Ger Toshav is simply someone who does not worship Avodah Zarah, accepts not to worship Avodah Zarah. There are others that suggest that he has to accept all Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So the Rambam has the Stira, and the Rambam is Sefer Mitzvah Mishnah Torah. One place he says Kabbalat Avodah Zarah, the other one he says he has to keep all Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. But it happens to be a machloket in the Gemara, as well as in the Rishonim, as to what the Kabbalah is. Rashi here only mentions that he says that he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, is accepted Avodah Zarah. Number two is Vochel Nevelot. He eats Nevelot, that's based on the Pasuk, that what do you do with your Nevela? You're not allowed to eat the Nevela. So either Machro Lenachri, you can sell it to a non-Jew, or give it Netina LeGer Toshav. You can give it to a Ger Toshav. He's allowed to eat non-kosher. But, this is what he says, Vizira Katuv Ala Shabbat. He has to keep Shabbat. So Rashi says here that a Ger Shod Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbat. Unbelievable. That's what he says. That's based on the pasuk here. It says one pasuk for Ger Tzedek, one pasuk for Ger Toshav. That tells you that a Ger Tzedek and a Ger Toshav have to keep Shabbat. Rashi reads that literally and says they both have to keep Shabbat. Ger Tzedek makes sense. He has to keep Shabbat. He's a full-fledged Jew. Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbat. Why does he have to keep Shabbat? So Tosafot asks on Rashi, and so do all the other Rishonim, what are you talking about? Since when does he have to keep a Shabbat? If that's the case, there aren't Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach, there are eight mitzvot b'nei Noach. Because then you have the Shiva mitzvot that is Susa Ger Toshav, plus another mitzvah of Shabbat that he's going to have to keep if he keeps the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach. And he's a Ger Toshav. So Tosafot rejects that and says, no, the restriction here is that a Ger Toshav may not do melocha for a Jew on Shabbat. Alright, now, generally, an Amir Liakum is a Din Derabbanan, which is that, Midrabbanan, you cannot ask a Goy to do a Malacha for you on Shabbat. What Tosafot suggests over here in the Ramban, says it more betokef, is that this is a Din Daraita. By a Ger Toshav, the Isur of him doing Malacha for a Jew is not just an Isur Derabbanan, that's an Isur Daraita. And that's what they're saying here. A Ger Toshav is restricted from doing work for a Jew on Shabbat. That's the way the other Rishonim explain it, so that it's not that he has to keep Shabbat, it's just that he can't do things for a Jew on Shabbat. That's the way they learn it. There is one day on the Rishonim that the Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbat like we keep Yom Tov. Meaning that he has a Shabbat like our Yom Tov, which is that Ochel Nefesh is mutar to him, but the other Melachot are Asurot, it's some like middle opinion between Rashi and Tosafot. But Rashi and Tosafot are the two main Shitot amongst the Rishonim here. What you're suggesting is that Rashi's answer to Tosafot will be that what's the reason he has to keep Shabbat? Because a mechalel to Shabbat gets a status like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So Rashi's just saying it's subsumed under the din of Avodah Zarah. It's an interesting comment about it. The truth is, it's not Ovid Avodah Zarah is a status. It's not that he is Ovid Avodah Zarah. We say that he's kofar bakol because Shabbos is a indication that Hashem created the world. So there is some truth to it, but it's still a, I would say, a melitza. It's a figurative saying that a person who doesn't keep Shabbat is like Oved Avodah Zarah. He's not literally Oved Avodah Zarah. He has trappings like Oved Avodah Zarah because he's kofer by Maaseh Bereshit. He's kofer that Hashem created the world. He is, it's a mitzvah chamura. So that takes his status down because he's not Shomer Shabbat. But to say that he's literally an Oved Avodah Zarah is part of Mitzvah Enoch, that's a little far-fetched. But maybe that's the answer for Rashi, how he says that it is subsumed under that din. All right, so now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So a person who purchases an Eved from an Oved Kochavim, velo ratza lamu. He doesn't want to get a mila. Migalgelimo ad yud bet chodesh. He plays with him for 12 months. Lomal, chuzer mochol Oved Kochavim. If he doesn't agree to a mila after 12 months, sells him back to a non-Jew. So amrua rabbanan kamei de rabbapa. So rabbanan said this over in front of rabbapa. Kiman. Who is this like? We already had a machloka Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, as to what the din of an Eved Kanani, who's not have a mila, what's his status? Who does this fit like? Deloka Rabbi Kiva. This is definitely not like Rabbi Kiva. Dear Rabbi Kiva, Amar in Mikaimin. You're not allowed to keep an Eved Kanani whatsoever. If he doesn't have a mila, you can't keep him. What about the 12 month? So now they're suggesting that this is the din in Rabbi Yishmael. Samuel Rapapa, Filutem Rabbi Kiva. This could even be Rabbi Kiva. Hane mila echa delo paska la milte. That's where he doesn't give a defined time. If he already gives a defined time, Pascha, then it works. Rashi brings here, again, two interpretations. Tosafot brings a third interpretation here as the Gemara, and that's why before I didn't explain exactly what the Shita, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva are, because they are governed by this modification, this qualification of Rapapa. And here Rashi explains. The first one, Rashi says, is Lashon Mori, which is B'shat L'kichato, B'nit Payes Lid Gayer. At the time that you purchased him, he agreed to convert. V'achar Kach Hazar Bo. And then he backs out of it. So he agreed at the time of person he's going to convert, and then he backs out. At that point, you can play around with him for 12 months to see if he will agree again. Since he agreed at one point, and even though he backed out of it now, we'll give you a 12-month window to convince him to go ahead with the gerut. But if he doesn't agree at the first place, then you can't buy him. That's where you would explain Rabbi Akiva now. Rabbi Akiva says, look, if he agrees to convert, and then he backed out at the last minute, that's the equivalent of an ones. And we give you 12 months to rectify the situation. If you can't rectify it, then you sell him off. Other than if he never agrees to convert, then you can't keep him around because that's clear that he's not going to convert. That's Rashi's Rebbeim's explanation. Rashi says, Lishna Achrina, which he likes better, which is, Ani Mile Deimen Kemim Echadullah Pasuk de Milte, Shemekaimel Stam. That's in a case where you keep him with an undetermined time. You just buy him. He doesn't get a milah, and you just, you own him. You don't have any time limit to how long you're going to keep him around before you rectify the situation. On the other hand, in pasach, if you say, I'm only keeping him for a year, if he doesn't come around in a year, that's it. I'm getting rid of him. That you're allowed to do. So basically, Rabbi Akiva allows you when there's a defined time to keep the eved, but if it's an unlimited time, he does not let you keep the eved. Now, what is that defined time? It seems from the Gemara here that the maximum would be 12 months. That you have up to 12 months. If you can keep him, we'll call it temporarily, in this state of not conversion, you can keep him for up to 12 months in that state. But that means that you have to have a time limit that at 12 months, it's convert or out. And that works according to Rabbi Akiva, but if within the 12-month period he doesn't agree, you got to get rid of him. And number two is, if you don't set a time up front, you can't keep him, because then you're just going to end up keeping him like this, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree. So those are the two shatim that Rashi brings down. Both of those are modifying the position of Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva's position is that this, I think that I said to you, that you can't keep around an Eved Kenani when he is not circumcised, either according to the second shot is that it's only, if you don't have a time limit on it, according to the first shot, that's only if he didn't agree at some point to convert and back out of it. That's the modification of Rabbi Akiva's position. Tosfot brings a interpretation from the Rabbeinu Tam, but the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is that it's modifying Rabbi Yeshua's position. Not Rabbi Akiva's position, rather Rabbi Yeshua's position. That, when is Rabbi Yeshua's statement? That's when he's pushing it day to day. He says, yeah, maybe I'll do it tomorrow, maybe, and he keeps pushing you off. But he says definitively he's not going to get a milah, then there's nothing to talk about. Then you get him rid of him right away. So you're allowed to keep him for the 12 months, meaning that lo pasuk de milte means when he doesn't to say for sure he's not going to get a milah, then you can keep him for the 12 months. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says. But if he says to you he's not getting a milah, you have to get rid of him right away. And Rabbi Papa says that's similar to Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that in Rabbi Akiva's position. He says, velo mash mekein. That's what it says. It doesn't sound like this from his. Dehani milah Rabbi Akiva kai. Because it sounds like it's modifying Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Yeshua. So then the Re picks up the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat and just says it in Rabbi Akiva. And he says this. If he agreed to get a milah and he pushes him out, hotam ein mekaimim. There we don't keep him. If he agrees to get a milah, then we say, get it now or you're out, because we're not going to hang around for the mitzvah. On the other hand, eichad pasuk shelo yimo, he says, I'm not getting a milah, enu mechuyav lamalo, bal korcho. You don't have to force him to do it against his will. And then you can keep him around for 12 months. Maybe you can convince him to do it. He says, that is the pshat that is in the Rav Hai Gaon as well. The explanation here has to do with the Eved's acquiescence here. If he agrees to a milah, then he's now or out. If he doesn't agree to a milah, we give him 12 months to figure out whether he will acquiesce to the milah, otherwise he's out after the 12-month period. Right, so those are three different interpretations. I mean, it's really four. The remaining time was rejected. The three interpretations of how to modify Rabbi Akiva. Again, is it have to do with, did he agree at some point to convert and backed out? Or is it deal with the defined time? That's what works here. Or is it we're trying to convince him to get a milah, or already was convinced to get a milah, and do we say now or out? Or do we say you had 12 months to convince him? So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Amrita l'shmaita kamei de Rav Zvid min Narda. I said over Rav Papa's memra in front of Rav Zvid of Narda. Amar li, ihalchi. That's the case. Ki Amar li Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva responds to Rabbi Yishmael and says, what's that pasuk talking about an Eved that is an Arel that he has to keep Shabbat? Rabbi Akiva said, oh, that's a case where he bought him right before Ben Hashmashot. You know what Rabbi Akiva could have said? That's a case, the pasuk milte. Rabbi Akiva, based now, what you're saying in Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that sometimes Rabbi Akiva lets you keep an Eved Sheinu Mahul around when you're pasuk milte. So why does he say, B'lokeach Eved Ben Hashmashot, Lishnei Neha? Let him give him the answer that it's a case that pasuk milte, where Rabbi Akiva will allow you to keep him around. Where it says, Chadami Trei Tamei Kamar. He's giving you one of two answers. So it means that it could be either of those answers. You're right. He just gave you one way that you can have an Eved Arel. But there is another way to have an Eved Arel. What's that? In the case of Pasuk Milte, whatever that means, according to the different Rishonim, you could also have it there. Shalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Eloi, V'chol Rabutai Amruli Mishmo. So Ravin says in the name of Rabbi Eloi, and he says, all of my Rebbeim say over in the name of Rabbi Eloi this. Ezu Eved Arel Shemutar L'Kaimo. Who is an Eved that does not have a Mila that you're allowed to keep around? if he buys him on condition that he won't get a mila. I mean, that was a condition in the purchase. So Amru Rabbanan Kamei Rabbapa, come on. Who's this like? So again, the Rabbanan suggests the Loki Rabbi Akiva. Dei Rabbi Akiva Amar Ein Mekayimin. He says, you can't keep around an Eved that's Namol. Amru Rabbapa, Filu Teima Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbapa says, no, you can fit it into Rabbi Akiva. Halini Mile Heched Delo Atnei Bahadei. That's if they didn't put this condition in the purchase originally. If they put a condition in, they sell, then it works. Again, a repeat of the same thing. I told the Rav Papa suggestion too, Rav Zvid Min Arda, again, that case where Rabbi Akiva says, where do I have a case of an Eved that is Arel and has to keep Shabbat? He gave the case. Oh, you bought him right before Benesh Mashot. Why don't you say it's a case where he made a Tanai in the purchase that he's not going to get a Mila? And even Rabbi Akiva agrees there. Why does he give that as a reason? So Lishnei Leha, let him give this reason. Where it says, L'tameich, Lishnei Leha. What about the other one before that we talked about, the case of Pasuk Milte? Ella, the same answer again. Chad Mitre V'tlat Tame. One out of two or three reasons, Kamar, he gave. All of those are good reasons why you would have an Eved Arel. He just gave you one. Either in a case where it's an Ones, because it happened right before Shabbat and he can't give a Mila. Or in a case where Pasuk Milte. Or in a case where he made it tonight. Originally, all those cases you'll have in Eved Arel that Rabbi Akiva will agree with, and all those cases will be governed by the Pasuk of Ein Afesh Ben Amatcha. It's not a blanket heter, like Rabbi Shmuel says, to keep around an Eved Kanani that is an Arel, but there are circumstances, and these are three different manifestations of an Eved Arel that Rabbi Akiva would agree to, and that is either Ones, where right before Shabbat you bought him, or in a case of Pasuk the Milte, or in a case where you made it tonight in the purchase. Yoti, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So these three individuals were sitting, Akila, the Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Yotvim Kamre. And he said this, Irachat Aita Bi Eretz Yisrael, there was this city in Eretz Yisrael, Valorat Su Abadel Amu. He said, the servants said, Eved Kananinim there did not want to get a Mila. V'gilgulu Mehem Ad Shnei Masar Chodesh. They tried to convince them, they worked with them for 12 months. V'chazru Machum Neobdeku Chavim. And then they went and sold them off to non-Jews. Because it said after 12 months, they didn't agree, got to get rid of them. Come on. Who's that like? Kihayitano. It's like the writer that we brought before, which is the Danya. Alokeach Eved min Ovi Kuchavim, Velo Ratzulamu Migalgelimo Ad Shnemasar Chodesh. Lo Mal, Chazor Machrolo Ovde Kuchavim. Again, we saw this in the position of Rabbi Yeshua. This was quoted by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi before. So here is a Braita that is basically supportive of that position, and that's what they were basing it on, this city of Ovid Ekochamim. Rosh Hashanah Omer, Emeshayinot Tov Eretz Yisrael, can't keep him around in Eretz Yisrael, Mipnei Hefsei Tarot, because of the losses that he's going to cause in Tarot. Ubi'ir Asmuchal Asfar, Emeshayinot Tov Kolikar. And if it's on a border place, we don't keep him at all. Shemi Yishma Davar, you'll hear something, Ve'ilech V'yomar L'chaviru Ovid Kochamim, and he'll tell the enemy. So here, if you have these Ovid Ekochamim, or Eved Knani, that are unwilling to convert, meaning that they're not getting a Mila, and they're remaining, and they are pushing against us. So the Tanakhama says, you play with them for 12 months, and figure out if they'll come or not come. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, okay, maybe that's true, but not in these two situations. Number one is if it's an Eretz Yisrael, which seems to be the majority of the situation. They were talking about Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep them around because of Hefseid Tarot, which is, Rashi says over here, because he's Metameh, it's a Trumot. Because Ovid Kochavim, Gazualav Shay Tamei Kazav B'chol Dvarav. He has a din like a Zav B'chol Dvarav as long as he's in Ovid Kochavim. As long as he's in Arel, he's Ovid Kochavim. He's going to cause problem for Tarot here. So we can't keep him around. Keeping him around is dangerous because he's just going to cause problems. He's living amongst the Jews. He's an Eved Kanani. He doesn't have a Milo, so he has a status like an Ovid Kochavim. He's like a Zav Tamei. That's going to cause us problems out right away. Get rid of him right away. Number two is if he's on a border. If he's in a border city, then again, we don't keep him around because we are worried about his allegiance. Since he's unwilling to convert and become the Jew or the Eved Kanani Jew, so we have questions about his allegiance. And if we keep him around there, he's basically going to become a fifth column or a spy for the other side. He's going to hear things on the Jewish side of the border, and he's going to pass along to his friends on the other side of the border. So we worry about his allegiances, and we get rid of him right away. You don't play games with him. If he's willing to convert and become an Eved Kanani, then we assume that because of that process or that willing acceptance, that he has a certain amount of allegiance to either his owner or to Judaism. But if he refuses to do it, then we have real questions about his allegiance, and therefore we won't keep him around. The Ramban before says, even though he argues on Balei HaTosfot and says you can do Tvila before Mila, Balei Tosfos would say you have to do Mila first, then Tefila. The Ramban says you can do Tefila first. He says, then why did the Gemara say here that you have to do Mila and then Tefila? So he says that's part of the dissuasion of a ger. Mila is a serious surgery. I mean, that's a major undertaking. You know, Baruch Hashem, today you have local anesthetic. It's not as serious. But in their day where there was no local anesthetic, it was painful. I mean, that was a serious thing to get a Brit Milah. So if a goy agrees to get a Brit Milah, that's a sign that he really wants to convert because he's willing to undergo the Milah. So I would say the same thing here by the Eved Bid here. In a sense, if he's willing to go through with the Brit Milah, then he has a certain allegiance and he has a certain connection to Judaism because he's willing to undergo this. He's not willing to undergo it, then we question his allegiance. But if he already goes through that process, then we think that he's not going to be a problem in terms of a fifth column. Tanya Rabbi Chananya Benosh Rabin Gamlil Omer Mipnei Magirim Zmanazim Unim V'Yisurim Ba'ilehem. Why is it that the Gerim in these days are afflicted, oppressed, and difficulties come upon them? V'nei Shlo Kaimu Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Because before they converted, they didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That's what he says. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ger Shnitzgayer, Kekatan Shnolad Dami is a very famous statement that a Ger, when he converts, is like he's born anew. Well, if he's born anew, he can't be held accountable for what happened before. So it certainly cannot be the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. The Tosfot Yishanim over here says that converting only frees him of things that are Dinei Shamayim, does not free him of things that are Dinei Adam. A Ger Shnitzgayer, Kekatan Shnolad Dami doesn't mean that all his bones are forgiven. Hey, that he still has to pay his debts. It's just that mina shamayim, if he didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, he won't be held accountable. So then Gemara says, so then what's Rabbi Yossi's explanation? They don't know the minutia of the dinim, and therefore they don't keep the mitzvot ki Yisrael. They miss out on some of the details. So now, Abba Chanan Omer, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, they don't do it out of love, but out of fear. So Rashi explains over here, Ava and Yira. Rashi says here that Mi'ira, Mi'irat Gehinom, Vapuranut, Amura Lehem. They're afraid of the punishment, so they do it. But not because out of love that they do it. I'll explain this in a second. Tosfot has an interesting comment here. He says that the Gemara sometimes says that doing mitzvah out of Yira is good. And sometimes they indicate that doing mitzvah out of Yira is bad. So then Tosfot says over here, he connects the two and says that Ava and Yira can be positive. When are Ava and Yira positive? When you do it out of Avata Makom and Yirat Makom. You do it because you love Hashem, or because you fear Hashem. Both of those are positive. That's positive Ava and Yira. He says, but if you do it, Ava and Yira means Avata Adam or Yirata Adam, because you love someone, therefore you keep the mitzvot. Or you fear someone, or you fear the punishment, that is a problem. I mean, Avata Schar, you love the reward, and Yira means you're afraid of the onish, and that's why you keep it. That's negative. The problem is, Tosfot says, that works well for the other Gemaras, where Ava and Yira, Yira said independently. But over here, the Gemara contrasts Ava and Yira. Over here, it says Ava is positive, Yira is negative. So now, how are you going to explain Ava and Yira here? Tosfot says before that Yira can, and Ava are both positive, or they're both negative. He doesn't have them being up. So now you have to explain Ava here, he does out of Ava, not Yira. So that's very hard here. He doesn't do out of Ava to Makom, but does it out of Yira to Onish? That's the way Rashi explained it, but Tosfot doesn't see that distinction. He says Ava and Yira are consistent. Either they both mean of Hashem, or they both mean of Onish and Schar. But over here, you see clearly that the Gemara says, here they don't do it out of Ava, but they do it out of Yira. So Yira here is negative, but the Ava is positive. How do you have Ava positive, Yira negative, if they're talking about the same framework? So Tosfot has a difficulty with that and bringing that explanation. So obviously, you'd have to bifurcate the din here and say that the Ava means out of Avata Makom, and Yira means out of Yira Ta Onish. And that's the problem here. So then they're not apples and apples, it's apples and oranges. It's an unbelievable statement. Because they tarried in becoming Jewish. What do you mean they tarried in becoming Jewish? There's no mitzvah to become Jewish. There's no mitzvah to convert. So why are they being held accountable for that? So that's it. Amar Rabbi Bo, Yitim Rabbi Chanina, my Korah. What is the pasuk? It says, Yishalem Hashem Palech. Hashem will compensate you for that which you've done. Utehe maskur tech shlema. And your payment will be in full, Me'im Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, from Hashem, the God of Israel, Asher Bat L'chasot, that you came to take shelter under the wings of Hashem. So the end of the pasuk is, Asher Bat L'chasot Tachat Knafav, that you came to take shelter under His wings. It's talking about the story in Megillat Rut. Because you came to take shelter under the wings of Hashem, therefore you'll be rewarded fully. But the word bat, as Rashi says over here, it says, shemiharta, velo yicharta. You did it quickly, and you did not tarry and delay. And that's how the Rishonim explained it over here, that miharta means that once you make the decision to convert, you did not tarry in your conversion. You don't have to convert. You don't even have to make a decision to convert. But once you make the decision, you've got to go through with it. You shouldn't tarry in going through with it. So anyway, yesterday, if you remember, the Gemara over there says, why do we say miyad? The Gemara said yesterday about a ger, we said right away, miyad malinoto. Why do you give him brit milah right away? Where it says, ashuye mitzvah lo mishainan. We don't tarry in the mitzvot. Again, what mitzvah was there? There's no mitzvah to convert. There's no mitzvah to give him a milah to convert. The only mitzvah is what? It's his mitzvot that he's going to do. We don't want to delay him from doing the mitzvot anymore, because here the Gemara says that he's going to be held accountable if he delays in the conversion process. When he's already made up his mind that he's going to be a Jew and he's going to convert, then we need to get him through that process. So now he already can keep the mitzvot, because his tearing is going to be held accountable for that. And this really goes to the core essence or the issue in Geirut in Eretz Yisrael today, which is that we know from the Gemara that you have to have some sort of dissuasion of the ger in converting, because we want to make sure that there's sincerity in the conversion. And it's given to the Chachamim in each generation to determine how do we make sure that there's sincerity. Just telling him about the mitzvot and they're saying, yeah, today is clearly not enough to determine the sincerity of the individual, and it takes more time. On the other hand, you have here the restriction against Shu'e Mishainan. We can't drag it out. If they are sincere Gerim, we have to convert them as soon as possible. We saw that in yesterday's Gemara about Shu'eloi Mishainan. And we see again here today that they're held accountable for it. So we have to find a balance between determining that a person is sincere on one hand, on the other hand, making sure that we don't cause too much tarrying or too much delay. So the system in place today is erring on the side of making sure that the ger is sincere, but many times it's dragging out the process way too long. The suggested solution is a solution that's going to convert at a much higher speed, but probably lose some efficacy in terms of making sure that these people are really sincere. And the answer, like always, is something in the middle, where we need a certain amount of time to make that determination, but we also have to do it in a way that when we do have sincerity here and we have a real gear here, that we're able to move them through the process. Over here, the Gemara talks about the status of the gear, or the difficulty of the gear tzedek. Now again, the Torah protects the gear. That's why the Torah speaks so much about the protection of the ger, because here it's clear that the ger, who is an outsider, has difficulties. Some of those difficulties are just from being a stranger or coming from the outside, but also difficulty here, the Gemara says, because they're unable to compensate for everything or make everything up, and they're going to be under duress. So there, the Torah says, people under duress, just like the Yatom and Ma'amanah, the Torah affords protection for those that are on the lower end of the social strata, so too the ger is in that position, and therefore the Torah warns us against mistreating the ger, because the ger has that same problem. He is in a difficult situation, just like the yatom, the almana. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Memchet Amud Bet.